is that embrace cruel. Panashtu, mom. Adarshanan, no darshan, or by not being visible to me. Marmahatam karotu va, make me karotu marmahatam, broken hearted. But marma is a technical term in military science or medical or physiology, indicating those places in the body where if you're wounded, you'll die. You know, like you might see a chart of a person, say, if you strike with your arrow here, 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 it kills them. Or, you know, you put your karate chop in this place, they die. That's a marma. Of course, being struck in the heart with an arrow, that's also a marma hatam. So let him hit me. But it's kind of stronger than brokenhearted. It's by dealing me a lethal blow. By not being visible. Yata tata, whatever he does, so he does, let him do, because he's lampata, he's a playboy, a debauchee, a Romeo, you know, he goes around with other girls, sees. All the words for that in English are kind of old fashioned now, debauchee, cad. A debauchee who mixes with other women is unfaithful. After all, he's unfaithful. Nevertheless, Matrananath, he remains the lord of my life. Prananath is the lord of my prana, my life force. He is Matrananath, Tusa Eva Napara, and there will not be any other. There will never be anyone else. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur expands it. That supreme adulterer, that libertine Krishna, another old-fashioned word, libertine. They're all 19th-century words. Now it's such a common state, nobody has a special word for it, you know. Debauchee, libertine. I mean, playboy doesn't exactly mean bad, does it anymore? Huh?
What does libertine mean?
Libertine is somebody who doesn't follow the rules and regulations. He takes his liberties. Casanova, Tan Juan, a seducer of many women, not faithful to any of them. That supreme adulterer, that libertine Krishna, may bestow upon me a servant who is totally surrendered to his lotus feet, endless bliss by forcing me into excruciating depths of despair by not being present before me. He may do anything he wishes with me, even to the extent that he enjoys the company of another beloved gopi in my presence. Yet he will remain always the lord of my heart. For me, there will never be any other. That's how he expands this mood of Radharani. So although it describes Samboga, notice how it's unconditional. And so even if he enjoys with someone else, I don't care. In one way, I'm brokenhearted because I cannot serve him. But on the other hand, if he's happy, I'm happy. I have no other way of knowing happiness except by seeing that he's happy. Prabhupada says this in the purport to this section. So this explains this sarvatma snapalam. It's completely pure. Now it's selfless. A couple of remarks that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes. Concerning this, though the phrase marmahatam, deeply afflicted in the heart, has been used in this shloka, in truth, the devotee feels not grief but exultation. Another important point in the shloka is that although it speaks of giving me bliss by your loving embrace, there's no trace of selfish pleasure. In fact, the only thought here is of loving Krishna and giving him pleasure. Such a statement is therefore very much in conformity with the true emotion of pure love. Now, I will read, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes into a description of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now let us read, after this verse is here in Sanskrit, there's Bengali verses in a meter which indicates to me it sounds very much like a song originally, but I don't know the tune. Ami Krishna Pada Dasi Teno Rasa Sukha Rashi Alingya Kare Atmasta. It's very much of a song meter. But here's the English. So this is Chaitanya's expansion or commentary on this, or re-saying of this verse in Bengali. I am a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. My dear friend, my dear Saki, just hear the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions, whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled mind and body by me. Thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or, since, after all, he is a very cunning, obstinate debauchee with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give distress to my mind. Nevertheless, he is still the Lord of my life. I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. So here, Prabhupada remarks, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a devotee does not care about his own happiness and distress. He's simply interested in seeing that Krishna is happy. And for that purpose, he engages in various activities. And now comes a sentence that's worth remembering, memorizing. A pure devotee has no way of sensing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in every respect. I'll say it again. A pure devotee has no way of sensing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in every respect. If Krishna becomes happy by giving him distress, such a devotee accepts that unhappiness as the greatest of all happiness. Those who are materialistic, however, who are very proud of material wealth and have no spiritual knowledge, like the Prakriti Sahajiyas, regard their own happiness as the aim of life. Some of them aspire to enjoy themselves by sharing the happiness of Krishna. This is the mentality of fruitive workers who want to enjoy sense gratification by making a show of service to Krishna. So you see what happens in the development of pure devotional service is the center of self-interest changes. Very instinctively, people are looking for their own happiness. And even if they're religious, they think ultimately that that's what they're really looking for, is their own happiness. But this is the way to get it rather than others. Of course, we in the beginning we tell everybody, yes, you're looking for happiness, you'll not find it in the material world. But the further development is that one gradually, as one falls in love with Krishna, the center of interest changes. So that in material life, the way we are self-centered, in the sense that our own, the center of the universe is our own happiness and distress, that's what we're concerned about, and everything sort of revolves around that. When love from Krishna becomes powerful, we have that same concern for Krishna's happiness that we used to have for ourselves. The center of self-interest changes, becomes like a Copernican revolution. It's probably my phone. I should have again forgot to turn off. Let me see who this person is. Excuse me. Hello? I'm in the middle of a class. Could you call me back in 1 hour? Can you do that? Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm afraid of missing calls. I'm going to town tomorrow. So I'm sorry about that. So this is the center of the, you want to call self-interest. Now you put a capital S for self. It's like a Copernican revolution. Our interests, we revolve around Krishna rather than have Krishna or God revolve around us. It's a cataclysmic change, a huge change. So she goes on, if Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her, but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand, and bring her to Krishna to engage her for her for his happiness, to engage her for his happiness. When a beloved gopi shows symptoms of anger toward Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied. Indeed, he's extremely pleased when chastised by such a gopi. She shows her pride suitably, and Krishna enjoys that attitude. Then she gives up her pride with a little endeavor. Why does a woman continue to live who knows that Krishna's heart is unhappy, but who still shows her deep anger toward him? She's interested in her own happiness. I condemn such a woman to be struck on the head with a thunderbolt, for we simply want the happiness of Krishna. If a gopi envious of me satisfies Krishna, Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant, for then my happiness will be awakened. And then she mentions this story that appears in different Puranas. The wife of a Brahmana, suffering from leprosy, manifested herself as the topmost of all chaste women by serving a prostitute to satisfy her husband. She thus stopped the movement of the sun, brought her dead husband back to life, and satisfied the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. this the Aditya Purana, Markandeya Purana, Padma Purana tell about a Brahmin suffering from leprosy. Had a chaste and faithful wife. He desired to enjoy the company of a prostitute, and therefore his wife went to her, became her maidservant, just to draw her attention for his service. When the prostitute agreed to associate with him, the wife brought her leprous husband. When that leper, the sinful son of a Brahmana, saw the chastity of his wife, he finally abandoned his sinful intentions. While coming home, however, he touched the body of Markandeya Rishi, who thus cursed him to die at sunrise. Because of her chastity, the woman was very powerful. Therefore, when she heard about the curse, she vowed to stop the sunrise when he was to die. Because of her strong determination to serve the husband, the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, were very happy, and they gave her the benediction that her husband would be cured and brought back to life. This example is given here to emphasize that a devotee should engage himself exclusively for the satisfaction of Krishna without personal motives. That will make his life successful. So here she cites this example of selflessness. Continues, Krishna is my life and soul. Krishna is the treasure of my life. Indeed, Krishna is the very life of my life. I therefore keep him always in my heart and try to please him by rendering service. That is my constant meditation. My happiness is in the service of Krishna. Krishna's happiness is in union with me. For this reason, I give my body in charity to the lotus feet of Krishna, who accepts me as his loved one and calls me his most beloved. It is then that I consider myself his maidservant. Service to my lover is the home of happiness and is more sweet than direct union with him. The goddess of fortune is evidence for this, for although she constantly lives in the heart of Narayan, she wants to render service to his lotus feet. She therefore considers herself a maidservant and serves him constantly. So that's the quotation here. Then it says, these statements by Srimati Radharani show the symptoms of pure love for Krishna tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that ecstatic love, his mind was unsteady. Transformations of transcendental love spread throughout his entire body, and he could not sustain his body and mind. The pure devotional service in Vrindavan is like the golden particles in the river Jambu. In Vrindavan, there is not a trace of personal sense gratification. It is to advertise such pure love in this material world that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has written the previous verse, that is the 8th verse of the Shishastika, and explained its meaning. Thus overwhelmed by ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman and recited suitable verses. The Lord had formerly composed these 8 verses to teach people in general. Now he personally tasted the meaning of the verses, which are called the Shishastika. If anyone recites or hears these 8 verses of instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna increase day by day. Benediction, and also from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those surrendered souls who read Sri Shishastika prayers, which are the nectarian words flowing from the mouth of the Supreme Lord Gauranga, with devotion, will certainly be attracted to the honey from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and like intoxicated bees plunge into the lily-filled lake of Krishna prema. There you have it on both. Any questions about this? Not much to say after all that, huh?
What's your text?
This?
No, no, no.
Here? This is the Anshalila 20, and just after that last prayer, it goes and tells all these things, and then We're ending at text 65 here. Ancha 20, text 65. Where that whole expansion of that verse in Bengali by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given. So here are these prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually, he's put everything in there, and if we immerse ourselves in them and follow them, I think more and more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it very clearly that we follow Lord Chaitanya in this way by first we serve Lord Chaitanya by cultivating the holy name according to Shastaka, and quite naturally and of its own accord will also enter into the service of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. Ended up because when Vipralamba then mixes with Samboga, then it intensifies Samboga, and then Samboga then intensifies Vipralamba. Because you notice, although this is called Samboga meeting, how also it's laced through with these strong feelings of separation at the same time. So that now the love for Krishna is enhanced by whatever happens. It's interesting when you think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the last half of his life pretty much worshipping the Lord at Jagannath Puri, not in Vrindavan. And that really illustrates separation. Because Jagannath at Puri is Krishna in Dwarka. So that really means he's in the mood of Radharani in Vrindavan, thinking of Krishna who's at Dwarka. And especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of what was going on when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu participated in Rath Yatra, which then commemorates, the Rath Yatra commemorates this meeting after separation. You remember that Kurukshetra means not during the battle, but after, but rather when there was a family reunion, a Yadu family reunion at Kurukshetra when there was an eclipse. And so at that time, the inhabitants of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra, and at that time, Radharani again met with Krishna, saw him again. And Prabhupada says this meeting was too tragic to tell, is the way Prabhupada describes it. It's too tragic to tell. And at that time, Radharani there's a verse of I can't quote in Sanskrit anymore, but at that time she's with Krishna and she reflects. You know that verse? You reflect. You can find it. No. Okay. She reflects on that. Here I am with Krishna. Here he is again. But now all around us, you know, he's the king and he's surrounded by his courtiers and his ministers and the armies are there and everything. And so she's longing to take him back to Vrindavan. She wants him to come back to Vrindavan. Because although he's there, she's the same Radharani and he's the same Krishna, and it's actually the same season as before. Somehow or other, they're not by the Vetasi tree on the bank of the Jamuna, and she wants to take him back. So that's the kind of feeling of, even though she's with him, the feeling of separation is there, that he has to come back to Vrindavan.
Priyasayam Krishna Sahachari Sahachari Kurukshetra Meditas Tataham Saradha Taridam Ubayo Sangamasuka Tatapyantakevan Madura Murali Panchana Jukshe Manomika Lindi Pulina Vinaya Spirkayati. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this battle, on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go back. But still I would like to go to the bank of the Yamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing a fit note within that forest of Vrindavan.
Yeah. So all of this is a reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Puri, because of these feelings of separation from Krishna. He's worshipping the Lord with these feelings of separation. Also, Prabhupada remarks, in the prayers of the six Goswamis, they wandered around Vrindavan looking for Krishna. Hey Radhe, Rajadevi ke chanalite, hey Nandasuno Kuta, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Prabhupada says they were always going through Vrindavan looking for Krishna, and Prabhupada says, and they never found him. That's what he says, they never found him. Contrasting the people who say, oh yeah, I saw Krishna last night. You go to India, you hear that all the time, people are like running into him all the time. But the actual advanced people, the Sikh Goswami, said they never found him. So the separation always remains a component, even when there's union or meeting. Any other questions? Anything else on these Shastaka prayers? So we've seen how they go, progress nicely through the stages of advancement, beginning from Shraddha. You look at the first one again, you can see now, Chido Dharpana Marjana, Bhava Mahadavagnya Vapana, Vayakairava Chandika Vitaranam, Vidya Bhadra Jivanam, Nandam Bhutti Vardhanam. You notice how this, you can see this, Anandam Bhutti Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Mittash Vardhanam. When you go bhava up to the various stages of prema, it's just always ever increasing and ever intense. So at every step, more and more. Sarvatma snapanam, and therefore param jayate Sri Krishna. So this first one is a kind of forecast of everything. And the sarvatma snapanam, which refers to the purity of love of Krishna, even in its most intense stage, this is the complete cleansing bath of the soul. You notice it begins chitta darpana marjanam, cleaning the mind, and then atma snapanam, it ends also with a cleansing bath. All the way up, so it remains pure at every step. So I think one should have the confidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these instructions. He gave it to everybody. He really came so that Krishna Prema would be distributed freely. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is simultaneously easy and sublime. So generally these two things, if something is easy, it's not very elevated, it's cheap. And if something is sublime, it's extremely difficult. But here, actually, these two things are united. Relatively speaking, the process of devotional service is easy. It's not easy when you compare it to cheating methods. But if you compare it to any bona fide process of serious process of self-realization, it's very easy. If you see, if you actually follow the rules of the Yoga Sutras, you see what hard is. Or if you sit down sometime and read the rules and regulations for being a practitioner of Jnana Yoga under Shankaracharya's rules, you'll understand what hard is. Even if you want to follow the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it's really, really hard. All these are very difficult. This is relatively easy. Speaking again to people who are accustomed to cheating, that cheating means they want to attain love of God or liberation or something, but at the same time they want to continue gratifying their senses and enjoying in the material world. They want contradictory things. Then this seems difficult to them. But Prabhupada has not cheated, he's not given a bluff, as he put it. He's told the truth as it is. So this is easy. It's very easy, actually. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method. And it means that it's doable by anyone who just becomes serious about Krishna consciousness. And then sublime means one goes up to the highest level of spiritual realization. We don't stop at some lower stage, Brahman realization, we keep going, Paramatma realization, Bhagavan realization, we keep going in that, all the way up to here, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discloses. It's built into this process that if one follows this, the promise is, it's a promise that you will attain the mercy of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna is that it's that we become ultimately graced by the devotees of Krishna, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that by their grace we learn what it is to love God. We learn what love of God means. That is to say say if it's conjugal love, can get a taste of how Radharani feels about Krishna. She has love for Krishna, and by the mercy of her associates, you can also share and get a taste of her love for Krishna. Then you'll find out who Krishna is. You'll appreciate Krishna from Radharani's point of view, or you'll appreciate Krishna from Mother Yashoda's point of view, or from Balaram's point of view, according to... Then you really understand why Krishna is all attractive. And so when one follows Lord Chaitanya, then one gets can expect that as he wills, you will receive this benediction, and thus learn how to love Krishna, and ultimately join with those who do. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.